Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcast of the show at BillMick.com. If you haven't paid attention lately, it is election season. The election will be held, well, the final day thereof anyway, on Tuesday. Today, we'll talk with Florida's Secretary of State, Cord Byrd, about operating the election in the wake of hurricanes that have damaged some areas and have special provisions in play. We'll take a look at election details leading up to Election Day, official versus unofficial results, the verification procedures for the count, how Florida leads in this election process, and are any efforts from other states to follow. If we get a chance, we'll take a look at election myths and where to find the facts regarding elections. All ahead today with you on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
The sun's out, the water's cool, it's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. It is election season with Election Day coming on Tuesday. And I'm very gratified that Secretary of State Cord Byrd has taken the time to join us and hit us with some information as we lead into the final stretch of this election. Mr. Secretary, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you back on the Roundtable.
Thank you, Bill. Pleasure to be with you back.
We're dealing with emergency situation after Helene and Milton, and some elections offices have had to deal with the tragic wake of these storms in their regions. Let's talk briefly about how those are being handled and that elections go on no matter what here.
Right. So in, hurricane season coincides with election season. And in Florida, we don't move or delay or postpone elections. So we have to deal with that, the reality of life. And so what happens is prior to the storms, we're in constant communication with the counties that we think are going to get hit. And certainly once we verify that everybody's, safe and secure in their location, we then start to assess what damage was caused. And it can be flooding, it can be wind damage, it can be power outages. And so what happens then is we ask the supervisors of elections in those affected counties to tell us what they need, what relief they need. So after Helene and Milton, Governor DeSantis issued executive orders. So for displaced individuals that had to evacuate and they're no longer at their home and still want to vote by mail ballot, we allowed the supervisors to mail a ballot to the new location based upon, they can make a phone call or an email, which typically that has to be in writing, signed writing. We allow it to be by phone or by email. For Taylor and Pinellas County, which were the two hardest hit, we allowed early voting to extend through Election Day. So typically there's no voting on the Monday prior to the Tuesday. In Pinellas and Taylor, at the supervisor's office or their branch office, voters will be able to go in on that Monday and on Tuesday and vote. So, and then for our first responders, including our linemen, the electrical workers, we allowed them to be able to get a ballot in the place where they're deployed. So, for example, if you had a lineman in an unaffected county deployed to an affected county, the supervisor in the unaffected county would be able to send a ballot to the unaffected county. So those are some of the things that we do to ensure that whether you were affected by the storm or you're helping with the recovery, you're going to be able to vote.
Well, as you noted, hurricane season coincides with election season. And because of those experiences, Florida has a plan in place or has plans in place. And those contingencies being dependent on what? Communication with your office and then with you to the governor to get those executive orders issued. So these provisions can be made. Is anyone taking advantage of having a voting center concept? Have they lost precincts where it's going to be hard for people to vote in their individual precincts?
Not this time. I mean, we have done that in the past, but not for these storms. And that's what's unique about the way we handle it, is that there's not a cookie cutter approach. We take each storm individually, the damage individually, and then accommodate the counties and the voters on an as needed basis. Because we don't know where the next storm's going to go or what the effects are going to be. So we don't want to set a precedent that's going to then be the thing that we do every other time. I would note, there is another storm brewing down there in the Caribbean around the Yucatan. We don't know what it's going to turn into, but let's not wait. You know, we have the opportunity to early vote. There's still time to go do that. So I would encourage all of your listeners, I mean, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, if you don't have to wait until Election Day, get out early and vote, because you never know. It could be a thunderstorm. It could be a traffic light that's out and you were on your way and then you don't make it there in time. And we want everybody to cast their ballot.
Most certainly. I will ask you to remain Secretary of State and not weatherman. I don't want to talk storms, Mr. Secretary. Interesting story. I voted last weekend on Saturday and I went into one of our early voting sites and went in, seamless process. And when I walked out, Tim Bobanek, my supervisor of elections, was there. And the place was running on generator power and you couldn't tell. It's not a glitch. And the backups for this equipment and the like, people don't realize the measures that these supervisors take to be ready and to have a flawless election. And it seems seamless when it's not. It's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, Tim's a great supervisor and a good friend. And they all are. They all do an amazing job. And people have no idea because we make it look so easy.
And that's very well done.
People just don't understand the amount of preparation and what the supervisors have to do. I mean, some of them, they had damage to their own homes in these hurricanes. I mean, they had their own difficulties that they're dealing with, but they are so committed to the mission and ensuring that people can vote that they go to great lengths to make sure that this all looks seamless.
The equipment is beyond what you might expect, all of it with battery backup or other backup availabilities, so it does flow seamlessly and is not an issue for us. So that's great.
Well, here's something interesting people don't think about. I mean, the ballot paper we use, humidity. I mean, Florida, that's what we're famous for, right? Our humidity. The humidity can affect the thickness of the paper, which it can impact its ability to be read by the machine. I mean, so that's why getting the power back up is so critical
sure.
at the supervisor's offices to make sure that the paper isn't affected.
And we'll talk more with Cord Bird in this edition of the Roundtable. Stay with us.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Did you and your family lose Florida Medicaid and need health coverage? Check this out. You may be eligible to enroll in a low-cost health plan at healthcare.gov. With the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov offers quality plans that cover doctor visits, prescriptions, emergency care, and more. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick with you on the Florida Roundtable. Happy to have Secretary of State Cord Byrd with us as we talk this lead up to the election on Tuesday. Mr. Secretary, leading into Tuesday, deadlines are in place. Things are going to happen. Let's talk. This weekend, early voting ends on Saturday. Let's talk about what happens when we get to Tuesday. What are we looking at? I'm thinking half of us will have voted by then, in all honesty.
Right. So it actually, in some counties, it is Sunday. So voting will extend in some counties through Sunday. And then no voting on Monday, except in Taylor and Pinellas. So this is the big final push. We expect, typically it's about a third vote early, a third vote by mail, a third vote on election day. The numbers are trending about where they were in 2020 when we had just over 11 million individuals vote. I think we're going to be right on that target for about 76-78% turnout statewide. The percentage will go up a little bit just because we actually have fewer people on the rolls than we did in 2020 because we've done so much work on cleaning up the voter rolls and removing people that had moved away or passed away or what have you. And then by 7 p.m. Eastern time, polls close, 8 p.m. in the Panhandle, which is something for people to remember. And so we'll start reporting those results right after 8 o'clock Eastern. And I expect by probably 10:30 on election night, you're going to know the results in Florida.
Very good. And we are some of the earliest of the reporting states. Virginia, also an early closing state. They close at 7 p.m., and they've been heralded as kind of a bellwether for how this election may go. I was reading stories about that earlier this week. Florida anticipated to go for Trump, but it's a contentious election season. A lot of things on the ballot, including amendments that will drive people to the polls.
Absolutely, and we've seen that and a lot of attention, and obviously the two big amendments, Amendment 3 and Amendment 4, a lot of passion on both sides of that issue, which is driving turnout.
Yeah, very true. Now, you mentioned we should have results by no later than 10:30 that night, and depending on turnout that day, how processing's gone throughout that process. We also have an extended period of time for military and overseas ballots to arrive. When will the official results happen versus the unofficial results on Tuesday night?
Right. So, because those are the unofficial results, and that's important for people to understand that those are unofficial. There's still time for candidates or campaigns, and if there's a close race somewhere, to make whatever challenges they need to. And then for our UACAVA voters, which is military and overseas, their ballots can come in for an additional 10 days after the election, and then we certify after that.
And what are the verification procedures in play around the state for this election was conducted well, it's done right, the results are true and accurate? What do the SOEs and then your office go through in verifying that this election is accurate and correct?
Right. So, important to remember that we have lots of transparency in Florida. There are no pizza boxes. Everybody gets to watch, whether it's the public, candidates, campaigns. So they're in these SOEs offices on election night. They're watching anything. We're here at the Department of State. We have a war room set up. So if there are any issues that arise, we can address them quickly. So the supervisors are tabulating and then reporting those results up to us. And then they will do, if a race is close within certain percentages as set out by Florida law, there can be recounts. many, more than half the counties now are using an audit system. I think in Brevard County, y'all use that, the clear audit system, which is 100% audit of the election. So you have the results that go through the tabulator, which is the official result, but then you have the audit, and we're trying to, you know, hoping that by the next election in 26, we'll have 100% audit statewide prior to certification, so that voters can be, you know, supremely confident that that the votes were counted accurately.
If I understand that clear audit system correctly, it actually captures an image of each ballot, and it's a supplemental record, if you will, that would eliminate problems that we heard about, whether they were real or imagined, after the 2020 election, and that Florida, again, leading the way in this process, showing how this can be done with confidence.
Right. So one of the ways we have confidence. So book close is 29 days prior to the election. So we know how many total eligible voters there are statewide. We know how many ballots are handed to voters, and then how many of those ballots are actually cast. And what I mean is, you know, a supervisor could send out a vote by mail to someone, but they never return it. So we have three numbers, and we can then verify. There's a chain of custody for all of those three, all of the ballots. And that's how we can reconcile total voters, ballots handed out, votes cast. And if those numbers reconcile, and that's what the clear audit helps do. I mean, if the tallies, if they match, then we know we have a good election. Or if there's some anomaly that's noted, I mean, one vote is read one way and another system reads it another, then that goes to the canvassing board, which is three individuals who will then make that determination based upon the rules set by the Department of State. So at every station along the way, there are checks and balances, and with full transparency to the public.
And that to me is impressive, because it is. It's a long and arduous process for the folks that are involved, but it's got those safeties and checks in play that, again, you can operate with full confidence knowing that this is being done as well as any human endeavor can be done.
Right. And I've said it, I think I've said it to you before. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect election. You know, we're humans. There mistakes will be made. I mean, we've already seen little hiccups here and there along the way. But you know, what we're looking for, and what the parties and candidates are looking for, is systemic problems. You know, really, really grievous errors that can change the outcomes of a race. And we just have a lot of safeguards and checks and balances in Florida and Florida law to address those issues. But I'm confident they won't arise.
Well, I read a story earlier this week where in South Florida, and I don't remember the county, where a bag of ballots inside a box that contained that bag of ballots fell out of a truck. The box stayed secure. The bag itself stayed secure. Those ballots were early voting ballots, so they'd already been counted at the early voting site. This is basically a paper record being retained, and it was just an error. Somebody didn't shut a truck door properly. It fell out of the truck, but it was recovered and returned to the supervisor of elections. No issues at all. But the fact that the box and then the bag itself stayed secure shows the steps we go through to make sure these things are secure come election day.
Right. I mean, we're fully aware of that story, and we're made aware of it right away. And the seals on the bag, so the secure seals had not been broken. That's one of the things we do to verify chain of custody. The supervisor in Miami-Dade County, where this occurred, responded very quickly and terminated the employee. So even though it wasn't intentional, I mean, our supervisors have a zero tolerance policy for mistakes. I mean, it's that important. So this individual didn't do anything intentional, but you know, it cost them their job, because we take this very seriously in Florida, and that's an example of a mistake happening, but the system working and demonstrating that, you know, once again, why people can have confidence.
You know, it's a reminder. Let's talk about election workers for a moment, because most of the people you will encounter in an election process are not full-time elections employees. They are temporary, part-time staffers who were brought in just to administer Election Day. And in that regard, Florida law requires all of those folks to be trained before every election to go through any changes that might have happened in the law or how things are processed. And these folks, I want to urge voters to be patient with the people in the election site, because, look, tensions can be high during elections, and we get that. But these folks are doing their best to ensure this process goes on as it should, and they are well-trained, and it's just a matter of getting through the process each time.
Right. I mean, these are your friends and neighbors in the counties and the communities in which you live in. Like you said, this is a part-time job that they do this during election season. They are trained. They have to go through training each and every election cycle to do this. And yeah, I would ask that, have patience with them. And listen, there's always someone else you can go to. So if you're experiencing a problem, then you can ask for the precinct manager. The precinct manager isn't giving you the answer you want, you can go to the supervisor of elections, or you can come to us. So don't just stay frustrated with the problem. Work your way up the chain, and eventually you will get to someone who will correct the error if there is one.
Secretary of State Cord Byrd is with us. Mr. Secretary, as we've talked in the past when you've joined us on the show, Florida leads in how elections need to be done. Are there efforts from other states to follow what we're doing? Are they working to correct what they've been doing that might be causing them lags or the like?
They are. I'm in communication with my colleagues around the country, but people need to understand that each and every state, all 50 states, are very different in the way they conduct elections and who's responsible in that state. They may have constitutional provisions that are preventing them from doing things. They may have court opinions. They may have, an elections board. I mean, Georgia has an elections board. We don't have that here in Florida. So every state is so unique and so different. Even the ones that where the secretary would like to follow what Florida's doing, they have other unique challenges. So we just have to continue to educate, provide information where we can, and by being that example, hopefully encourage the voters in that state to demand the changes and say, we want to be like Florida.
Pennsylvania, for example, won't be able to count their mail ballots until the polls close in Pennsylvania on Tuesday night. That delays their process far behind when we're going to know what results are for us.
Correct. Right. And that's why, I remember in 2020 when people would say, oh, there was this candidate was ahead and then there was a big data dump or a big spike in the middle of the night. Well, that's because all those mail ballots, they're finally counting them. And that's why we don't have that in Florida because we're canvassing, counting all the way through. You're not going to see, oh, this person's ahead and then this big spike up for somebody else in the middle of the night, because those kind of things sow doubt. They make people think that maybe there's something wrong going on. And, I wish Pennsylvania had corrected that before this election.
But you and me both. Well, and it's important to remember, too, local state law controls these elections in all 50 states, and they're not all the same, so you can't make assumptions based on Florida law. We'll be back with Secretary of State Cord Byrd in moments right here on the Florida News Network.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Ah, the sun's out, the water's cool. It's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Secretary of State Cord Byrd as we take a look at elections. In a time of emergency in the wake of Hurricanes Helene and Milton, those provisions we talked about earlier in the show. Of course, if you missed it, you can always pick it up in the podcast section, top of the page at BillMick.com. Those Florida Roundtable podcasts there for you whenever you want to catch up with them. Mr. Secretary, again, thank you. I appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about the myths around elections. Voters... information flies so quickly around the world today, and we get it from dubious sources, whether it's social media or other communications methods. And it's so easy to get the facts if you just know where to go. Number one, if you've got questions or concerns about elections, where's the first place for people to go and get that information right?
Well, first off, since you're county supervisor of elections, that's place number one. You can obviously come to the Division of Elections website at the state level. I mean, all of the correct, lawful, legal information is available. Citizens just have to do their homework and get it. I mean, please don't rely on social media for your elections information. There's just so much wrong out there. And I see things where they're quoting other state laws and saying that that's what it is in Florida. And it's really misleading to voters. But it's ultimately incumbent upon you as a citizen to make sure that you're educating yourself and getting your information from reliable sources and not people who are engagement farming on social media.
And no better source than your local supervisor. And they are more than willing to talk with folks about any concerns they have. They know the system very well.
They do. They're very transparent. They're willing to have people come in. They'll show them the system. It's why I'm out there constantly talking to people. In fact, we've done an entire video series of how your vote your ballot becomes a vote that we've been putting out every week, starting with logic and accuracy testing all the way through the counting of the ballots to try to demystify the process, give people a behind the scenes look. So I went around the state and visited with various supervisors, and we went through every aspect of the election process so that people can see and understand what's happening.
Yeah, and it's great that that's available that way. I've gone to several of those sessions, and it's very informative. And folks have the opportunity during those to ask questions, either at the end or at various breaks there. And I think it's really helpful to the voter. That's great. Let's run through some myths. An Orlando TV station, Local 6, had run a column about election myths, and there are so many of them out there. Let's start with number one. If you don't vote in every election, you're going to lose the right to vote.
Not true. If you we have people that have been registered for many years, and in fact, the There was one lady, it may have been 50 years, and she said, I've never voted because there's never been a candidate that I felt deserved my vote, but I remain registered. So there is no requirement that you go to vote to retain your registration.
There is a purge period if someone's inactive for a period of time, but that involves communication between the supervisor and the voter before that ever happens.
Correct. There has to be a mailing to an address from the supervisor's office that gets returned as undeliverable, and then you get moved to that inactive status. But even then, you're not removed from the rolls for two cycles, so you have to go be into that inactive status and then not vote for two consecutive cycles before you're actually removed. And that's because we can't verify, the supervisor hasn't been able to verify your address, that you still live there.
Sure, understand. Another, if you don't speak English, you can't vote.
Absolutely not true. We print the ballots, and depending on the county, in three languages, English, Spanish, and Haitian Creole. So that is absolutely not true that there's an English language requirement.
What about voting for citizens who may be homeless? And we have had in the past significant veteran populations that are living in a homeless situation. They can still vote, but what's required for them to do that?
Right. So typically they still have to have an address, and they many times they use the supervisor of elections office as their address for voter registration purposes. So, yes, being homeless is not a disqualifier, but you do have to have an address listed, and that can be the supervisor's. You mentioned military and overseas oftentimes will use either the supervisor's office or the county courthouse as an address for voter registration purposes when they're deployed overseas.
Oh, very good. I didn't realize they were doing that. This one's had some contention around it in recent years. Convicted felons cannot vote.
Right. So Amendment 4, a few years ago, voters passed, the voters of Florida added to the state constitution. So as long as a convicted felon has served the terms of their sentence, including fines, fees, and restitution, they can vote. The only ones that are permanently prevented from voting are murderers and sex offenders. They would still have to get clemency from the governor to vote. But everyone else, if you've completed fines, fees, restitution, terms of your sentence, you can vote.
I hear people making claims about we need to have voter ID available in order to vote. Well, we do in Florida. You have to bring an ID. But it doesn't have to be a driver's license.
It doesn't. There's a list in the statutes of, I think it's 10 to 12 different types of voter ID, but it has to be a picture ID. And, you know, I think the vast majority of people use their driver's license or state-issued ID card.
Sure. Just a brief list, Florida driver's license, an identification card issued by the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, a passport, military ID, student ID, retirement center ID even, neighborhood association identification, public assistance identification, all of those, some of the acceptable methods. So just make sure you've got that photo ID, and it's not going to be a problem for you. This one could be a concern because people are not necessarily thinking about the election or an election if they move within the state or even move out of state, that your voter registration moves with you when you move.
So it's not automatic. Once again, that's incumbent upon you as the citizen, as the voter, but you can do a change of address at the supervisor's office. Or when you go to vote, I'm sorry, but the precinct, when you go to vote, you can do a change of address. But yeah, that is incumbent upon you. It is not an automatic process that it automatically moves. And that's one of the things that the legislature has changed in the last few years, requiring supervisors to update their voter rolls and lists on a weekly basis. And we're very aggressive on making sure that, you know, especially for the vote by mail ballots, that ballot is going to your current residential address.
Very good. If you make a mistake on a ballot, you cannot change it. That's not true either.
Not true. A voter can spoil up to they can get three ballots, so you can mess up two and then get the third one. If you know three strikes and you're out. If you mess up the third one, you're not getting another one. But no, I mean, if you make a mistake on the first go around or change your mind, you can get a substitute ballot.
Now, let's stop there. You don't get one beyond the third one, but even that third one, if you made an errant mark, you can indicate on the ballot how you intend to vote, and that can go to the canvassing board, correct?
Correct. That could happen that way, yes.
Okay. I just don't want people thinking they'd have to walk away and not
vote. Right.
Because we want their votes. We want them to get in there and get the job.
We want to count their votes. Right.
You can write any name on a ballot in a write-in election. Not the case in the state of Florida.
No. So you have the write-in line, and you have to write in the name, but it has to be someone who is qualified as a write-in candidate. So in Florida, we have an entire process for those who want to qualify as a write-in. So listen, if you go in and you vote for Donald Duck as your write-in, it's not getting counted. Only those write-ins who actually qualified as a write-in get counted.
Yeah, we happen to have one in Brevard County this time around, and first one I've seen in a while, as I recall.
The voter has to spell their name right and all of that. So, I mean, yeah.
It's a tough campaign for somebody trying to run a write-in campaign. That's got to be difficult. I know there is at least one more around the state that's going on.
Yeah, there's always a handful around the state, yeah.
Very good. Early votes and vote-by-mail ballots only count if the race is close. That myth, I don't know where it comes from, but people believe it.
They do. But every vote gets counted. Every single vote gets counted.
Come from the early votes in the mail ballots.
Correct. Exactly. That very first number that's going to come out about a little after 8 is going to be those that two-thirds of the electorate that's already been counted, which is your early in vote by mail. Now, where I think maybe this comes from is if when we get to a recount, if let's say a candidate is up by 1,000 votes, but we know there's only another 100 UACAVA votes, your military and overseas. Well, if the loser got all those, it's still not going to make a difference. So I think that's where maybe that notion comes from. But no, we count every single vote.
Interesting. Very good. Are there other myths that have come up for your office that people are unduly concerned with?
I think mainly what people are seeing is what's happening in other states and just assuming that it's happening here. And that's what I would caution people is just whatever you're seeing on the news, just don't automatically assume that that's taking place in your own state.
I think that's wise advice. And we've been talking for 4 years about this one. Hackers can change your votes.
Right. I've met with, lots of people who have made those allegations after 2020. I've brought them to my office, had them meet with my entire staff and said, please show me your evidence. And not a single one has been ever able to show the evidence. And I always ask this question first, show me the race that you thought, candidate A should have won, but candidate B won because they flipped votes. And they never can point to a race where that has happened, not in Florida. So once again, I caveat all this regarding Florida. We have lots of safeguards and procedures in place, some of which I'm not going to go into because, when we talk about these things, listen, there are bad actors. There are foreign state actors who would love nothing more than to try to mess up our elections. But I can tell you every year there's a hackers conference, national conference in Las Vegas. I send my people there because I want them to see what's being said because they have a whole system on they have a whole presentation on voting systems. And I can tell you that those systems that they were hacking into are not used in Florida. And we certify all of the systems at the state level, not only the physical hardware, but also the software, which is why, once again, I'm confident that I can't speak to other states. I can speak to what we do here.
And we do it well. Secretary of State Cord Byrd is with us. This is the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. Just a little bit of time to go with the Secretary as we march toward Election Day on Tuesday.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Great deals are now Bloomunic Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruiting plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. A open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Bill Mick with Florida Secretary of State Cord Byrd on the Florida Roundtable. Mr. Secretary, voting, Election Day is Tuesday. We've been voting for, what, a month already, and now early voting about to close. And Election Day, the big day, is here on Tuesday. What are your reminders for voters, as those who are heading out to the polls, or what are you thinking they need to do to be ready here?
Right. We want every Floridian to be election ready. So vote by mail ballots can no longer be mailed by the supervisors, but they can still be returned. So if you still have one in your possession, make sure you're getting it back in. You can turn it through the Postal Service, or you can use the secure ballot intake station to drop off that ballot. If you're, you know, there's a lot of people who they just, you know, they like to go on Election Day. Just make sure you have a plan for that day. Make sure you're not waiting until the last minute. Polls close at 7. If you are in line, you will still be able to vote. But if the doors close at 7 and you know you're 5 minutes late, there are no excuses. Make sure you have your ID. Make sure you know your precinct. So before you head there, let's make sure that you have all of those things that you will need once you get there. So that your experience is seamless. Listen, we could have lines on Election Day. I mean, this is a presidential election. This is the election Super Bowl. Don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated with the workers. Don't get frustrated in line. Don't argue with people. I mean, every day now I see stories of people, getting in verbal arguments or altercations. Listen, I know it's passionate. I know people care, but your job is to go in and vote. That's how we do this. You don't want to be making the news for the wrong reason, and you're not going to win the race for your candidate by getting in an argument with somebody in a polling line.
That's very true. You mentioned it is a presidential election. They are generally voted heavier than any other year. And in addition to that, we've got 6 statewide constitutional amendments on the ballot, and those are not necessarily easy to understand. It pays to have a sample ballot. It pays to go over it in your home, understand how you want to vote and why on those issues, and take that sample ballot with you so you make sure you're marking the right ballot at the right time.
No, you're absolutely right. And the language of the amendments is not printed on your ballot. It is a summary. It is a summary of the language. When you put something in the state constitution, it can only be changed by another constitutional amendment, which is very difficult. These are extremely critical and important. And so you need a plan and have thought through those and have read through them before you head to the polls, because the entire language will not be on the ballot.
Does every county in the state send sample ballots to their voters?
I think they do. I think that almost every county does. The supervisors are funded by the county commission at mm-hmm. the county level. So they don't get state funding. That's all done at the county level. But I believe that they all are. Maybe some of the smaller counties don't, just because they might not have the money. But I'm pretty sure they all do.
But those sample ballots, even in those counties, are going to be available online. You can go online and print that ballot,
yes,
and have it ready.
Absolutely. All of that's available. And I know parties and candidates and interested groups, that information is definitely available online.
Yeah, I know.
And all the commercials.
our supervisor of elections had to fight with the county commission locally. They were trying to stop the sample ballots and mail ballots in some fashion. And it was a tough fight, but they won it. And again, fighting for the voters themselves. This was a battle for the people who cast the ballots that put these people in office that were trying to cut it back.
Yeah, no, it's always frustrating. You know, when certain elected officials, like, you know, you got elected based upon this system that you're now trying to possibly defund. But no, those sample ballots, I mean, it's a reason why with 23 million people in Florida, with over 13.5 million registered voters, that we get things done so efficiently, because our supervisors are proactive getting information out to people so that when they do go to the polls, they're not thinking about it, hopefully, for the first time.
Are you amazed at how smoothly this goes sometimes in an election season? But I know you get to see all the glitches, but it does. It appears flawless a lot of times.
It really does, and that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on, is making it look easy when it really, really isn't. I mean, we at the Department of State and the supervisors do elections 24/7, 365.
And we'll wrap it up with Cord Byrd in moments on the Roundtable.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-361-1289. 800-361-1289. 800-361-1289. That's 800-361-1289.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrol.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping things up this pre-election weekend on the Florida Roundtable with Secretary of State Cord Byrd. Mr. Secretary, again, I know it's a busy time of year for you. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this weekend as folks are wrapping up, heading to the polls. We've been voting for a month, and now it's coming to conclusion. Let's talk a little bit about your expectations for Tuesday and Tuesday night. What's it like for the folks in your office, and where's it going for you?
Right. So we started about 5:30 in the morning, because what happens is we get reports, the polls open at 7, and we contact every supervisor's office around the state, or they report to us, and we want to know, did every single one of your precincts open? Are voters able to vote? And if they're, you know, and if they're not, then we can rapidly address those issues. We have staff that's monitoring social media. Many times we'll see things online before a supervisor is made aware, so we can address it quickly. We have law enforcement partners here at the Department of State with us to address any other types of issues. Our cybersecurity team is up and running. So we literally have a war room set up as we're monitoring the elections throughout the entire state. Once the polls close, then we'll start. We start getting all of that information in from the supervisors and asking them if one of them seems delayed, well, what's the problem, and then monitoring that. And we stay here till the wee hours of the morning, making sure that all of the data and information is uploaded to the website for the public.
I was talking with friends earlier in the week, and the question came up: will we ever have another election that doesn't have lawyers standing around waiting to file lawsuits over something that's happened? Do you guys have staff ready to deal with those kind of things as they might come up on various issues around the state?
I do. I have a fantastic general counsel's office, and obviously the governor's general counsel is involved. We monitor that. But I tell everybody, you're not going to litigate your way to victory. The courts don't want to decide who the winner and losers of elections is, which is why you have to get it right on the front end, and campaigns and candidates got to do their work. And, the elections administrator is please, whoever wins big. That's what we want. So get out and support your candidate.
No doubt. In our final minute or so here, what do you want to remind voters as they head to the polls, either in what's left of early voting or on Tuesday?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Americans have sacrificed to give you the opportunity to go cast a ballot and elect your representatives. Take that seriously. Please do your civic duty. Get out and vote. Do it in a responsible manner. This is still the greatest experiment in human history on self-government, and I want to keep it that way. And despite all the noise and the nonsense, try to take it down to that basic level and remember to do your civic duty as an American.
And as you think about it, be proud of what Florida's been able to do. This is not 2000 any longer. We talked it previously when you were here about that election and how much it's changed since then. It's been a dramatic change, and it's a positive one, and one that leads the way for the country.
It really is, and that's a testament to the leadership we have in this state, both in the governor's office and in our state legislature and with our supervisors of elections. It's all a team effort to make this a success.
Secretary of State Cord Byrd, thank you again for taking the time. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you again on the round table. Maybe we get into other issues from the Secretary of State's office one of these days, just to see what it's not like. Elections are the only thing you do.
No, it's not. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Bill. Happy to come back in the future.
Thank you so much. And we will see you next weekend. By the way, we're going to take a break next weekend. We're talking holiday travel next weekend on the Florida Roundtable. We'll see you then right here on the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.